It's been way too long. Maybe not for you, but for me, it's been way too long. I cannot tell you how I just feel bathed in your energy every time I speak, every time I'm with you all. We were talking backstage, of course, every time I come here, I am an unavoidable part of your history because I was the guest minister on the Sunday when we were all locked out, remember, down in the old location? And the police came and guided us, and we went over to a park, and it was raining, and nobody cared, and we had a service anyway in the rain. People were hanging out of their windows in the apartments above, and probably maybe some of you started coming because you were in one of those windows. But I have a lot of wonderful, wonderful associations with you all, so it doesn't feel like I'm a guest speaker at all. It feels like I've had a chance to come home, and I appreciate that very much. As is always the case here, I find that a good chunk of my job is done before I even get up here. I was sitting over there thinking how many recent days in my life when, without my knowing it, I was on shuffle. Who knew, you know? Reyesa, yesterday was a shuffle day. It was a shuffle day. You know, I think I know what's going to happen. I think that this order that my ego mind is insisting on is going to carry me through the day. And then all of a sudden, it's where the hell am I? You know, and how did I get here? And how do I get to the next? What's the next step? And the answer is always, why don't you just let go and find out? You know, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. It was interesting. It is especially an honor, and I think an example of a kind of divine order that Britt had arranged for me to speak on this Sunday several months ago. But to be here and join you in sending our love to him and his family is a real privilege. And he said, when he invited me to speak, he said, now you don't have to do this, but I'm telling you, I'd mentioned that I'm working through the 12 steps. And I said, well, that's interesting because I speak twice a month for Unity in the City in Boston. And since January, we have been working through the 12 steps. And this month's step is order. And that is exactly where I was. And it's been a fascinating process for me because the 12 powers have often been sort of relegated to entry-level unity, you know. It's great for the kids. By the way, I want to be downstairs talking about Harry Potter. I really, really do. Just thought I'd mention that. When I had the church in Dallas, we did a Wednesday night class on Harry Potter for 8 weeks, and we built a whole set, Hogwarts around me. They bought me a robe. Oh, it was wonderful. Loved it. So I am a real fanatic, and I'm delighted that the kids are having a chance to see those stories from this perspective because there's a lot. They offer a lot when we do. Okay, where was I? Okay. The 12 powers, what I have discovered about them this year is that I've been approaching them all wrong. The 12 powers are not a spiritual tool that I need to use and learn how to use properly. They are also not a spiritual goal that I'm supposed to be working toward. There's nothing I'm supposed to be working toward because there's nothing I don't already have in spiritual truth. They're a lot like, and you heard me mix them up a minute ago, they're a lot like the 12 steps, aren't they? The 12 powers are how it works. And we could spend weeks looking at the similarities between the two. Charles Fillmore wrote this. He said that the 12 powers are the faculties that relate us to the earth beneath and the heavens above. The faculties that relate us to the earth beneath and the heavens above. He said they are an orderly process for the gradual refinement of the man of flesh into the man of spirit. So we're talking here about a process. We're talking about what is becoming clearer and clearer as our most important focus going forward. And that is bringing spiritual truth into expression in the world around us. Yeah? It can be very challenging, can't it? It can be very challenging to be what we call a truth student in these days. It's like, I was thinking this week, it's kind of like the self-driving cars, you know? You discover that you are a self-driving car. You don't need to control it. You just need to relax and let it do the work. And that's fine, but the challenge comes when you're trying to negotiate among a lot of other cars that are still being controlled by mortals, right? That's the problem. It's not whether my car knows it or not. It's the people that I have to deal with and the consciousness that I have to deal with on a regular basis. And that's where I find myself a lot of the time these days. And this is why the 12 powers are so important, I think. They allow us to navigate this mortal experience from the perspective of our spirit self. They are not intended, and Mr. Fillmore was very clear about this, they're not intended to be tools to manifest things. That's not what it's about. Because the minute we start to manifest, you know, money or relationships or whatever, that's all well and good, and it's important. It's an important stage that we go through on our spiritual journey. But ultimately, we have to say, you know, the only thing I really want to create is an experience of spirit. That's it. And I am not the world's foremost authority on what that would look like, you know? So I need to let go. I need to let these powers guide me in an orderly, here comes the word for the day, in an orderly fashion through the challenges of life, through all of the thoughts in my ego mind, not judging, not blaming, not trying to eradicate those thoughts or yank them out or feeling guilty because I have those thoughts, which of course then adds more negative energy to ego mind, which loves that. It's none of that at all. It's about loving all of it and being the spirit that can effortlessly handle it all, dissolve the challenges, move me through the shadows, and show me on a minute-by-minute basis, show me spirit at work as me. Because I usually can't see it. You know, each of us, every day we get up and enter into life, enter into our experience, each of us is being spirit in ways we can't even imagine. Being spirit at times when it doesn't even occur to us that that's what's going on. That's why we rely on our, what I call our spirit self with a capital S, that inner awareness that knows and sees everything as an expression of itself and knows that it has the power to convert, to transform anything at all into a positive spiritual experience. This month's focus on the power of order allows us to experience and appreciate that flow, to really be aware of it. I try to spend in my meditations now, I find myself working less hard in meditation. I find myself just sitting on that mountaintop within me, sitting as that self, looking at my mind, my ego mind, looking at the world around me that ego mind is helping to create, and seeing it all as spirit and loving it all without fear. I sat one day this week and looked back over my life, and I thought, how would it have been to live this very same life without fear? How would that have been? Oh my Lord, the energy I would have saved, that I would be able to use in more healthy directions, you know? It's an interesting realization that I have spent so much of my life, and including in, up to and including my time in Unity, a lot of it, you know, in fear. All kinds of fears. Am I doing it right? What will they think? How does it look? Am I wearing the right clothes? Should I, you know? All of that, instead of just being comfortable as self and knowing that if I'm up here talking, I must be saying something that someone out there needs to hear. Mortal minds love to grab hold of order, right? We've got to get organized whenever there's a challenge of any kind, whenever things seem complicated. We have to set goals. We have to establish priorities. And all of that's important. It is important, as long as we do it from an appreciation of the divine power of order that doesn't need anything but my willingness to allow it to express. Power of order works best when mortal mind just leaves it alone. Well, I think that may be true for all the 12 powers. I haven't quite looked at that, but we appreciate the presence and then let them be. Just let them be. These powers are the truth of who I am. Charles Fillmore said, the Christ is the power that contains all powers. So as I work with the 12 powers, I am working with the Christ self that I truly am. And there are a lot of, you know, you can spend a lot of time asking the question, okay, now I know about the Christ. I know that I'm the Christ. I know that Jesus wasn't trying to make himself an exception. Now what do I do? You know, what next? What now? How do I do the Christ? How do I be the Christ? Do I have to run around telling everybody I'm the Christ? I'm the Christ? I don't recommend that. I really don't recommend that. You know who was great at keeping these powers perfectly simple? Jesus was. Jesus was. We so often think of his earthly ministry as chaotic, full of conflict, challenge, miracles, teachings, people who heard the true message, people who totally didn't get it, all carried out in a highly political atmosphere with great pressure to take sides. Sounds like tomorrow morning to me, but Jesus moved through it with ease, allowing his absolute confidence in divine order to guide him as he realizes and achieves his spiritual purpose. I had a rich opportunity this winter, in February, to join my friend Jimmy Twyman on a trip to Israel and to the border with Syria to hold a peace vigil on the border overlooking three towns controlled by ISIS. And it was an amazing experience because people all over the world were joining us at that agreed upon time. So it wasn't just us. We were just standing there on behalf of everybody else. It was my first trip to the Holy Land. The first day, we had a tour of Jerusalem, and of course, it's fascinating and moving. But it didn't feel like what I wanted the Holy Land to feel like. I didn't feel Jesus in Jerusalem, and I thought, well, that's just me. I'm just too cynical. I've been in New York too long. This guy. The second day, we were making a film, and Jimmy wanted to do some filming outside in the wilderness. So we went out of Jerusalem into the wilderness. I stepped out of the car and I was almost knocked on my rear. Jesus was so present. Spirit was so present. And I realized that those 40 days he spent in the wilderness were absolutely vital to him. He had come into his Christ awareness We see that symbolized by his baptism in the Jordan. And the same question came up for him. What do I do? And I'm sure that John the Baptist said, why don't you go on a vision quest? And so he went into the wilderness. And that wilderness is still there. You know, there's almost nothing of Jerusalem that was actually there when Jesus was, but that wilderness has seen nations come and go and religions come and go and armies come and go, and it is there, and it's still holding that secret and that potential. And that's where he had his great temptations. You can use this to get rich. You can use this to be famous. Throw yourself off the temple. People are going to notice. You're going to get on Oprah, you know. Or to have power. Because now that you know you're a power for good, you can take charge and tell everybody else what to do, which, of course, isn't good. But they're very tempting. It's very tempting to misuse our spiritual awareness because our ego mind grabs a hold of it and says, okay, I can't talk you out of this, but I'm certainly going to warp how you use it. And Jesus, in the wilderness, realized that that isn't why he came. That isn't why he stepped into this awareness. He was there to awaken it in others. And with that, he went back into his ministry, and not knowing what would happen, but comfortably, easily walking through. I don't want to take up a whole too much time today, but you'll forgive me if I turn to the Bible for a minute or two. I do that a lot. And this afternoon, by the way, it's not really a workshop so much as it is a Bible discussion group. I find as I traveled the country in support of my book and doing workshops on Revelation that what people really wanted to talk about was their attitude toward the Bible. What should it be? What is it? What am I afraid of? How do I understand it? I have these questions. It's a fascinating role to play. I answer questions sent into the unity.org website, the international website, and most of them are from non-unity people, and it's fascinating to see the concerns and the fears and the fear of new understandings that so many people demonstrate. I chose for today as an example of how Jesus applied the 12 powers so easily in his life and in his ministry. I've chosen the feeding of the 5,000 from Mark. I could have chosen it from Matthew and Luke and John because it's the one and only story that is told in all four Gospels. But as with most things, Mark keeps it simple, and I love that about that Gospel. So, if I can remember, yeah. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the country and villages round about and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "So what, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. In that short, short passage, in the few minutes that all took, we see Jesus calling on all of the 12 powers to create an energy that would feed 5,000 people easily and comfortably. Now, there are a lot of theories about how that works. there are some Bible scholars who say, well, it was probably on a trade route, and probably a caravan came by and happened to have a lot of food. And yeah, well, would that be less of a, you know, less of an example of less of a demonstration than if it just manifested in front of their eyes? Here's what I think happened. I think what we're talking about here is the first church potluck. Because Jesus doesn't say, take these and give them to the people. He says, set them before the people. Set them out. Here's what we have. Now, if you've been to a church potluck, you know everybody pitches in. So people said, well, you know, I have little of this, and I'll put that up there, and a little of that. And within their own energy, they discovered they could feed themselves and still have enough left to bless the world. To take 12 baskets full, you know, into a shelter to feed the homeless. It's simply a matter of knowing who you are and knowing the power that you are not only given to use, but you're here to use. We are going to use these powers. We are going to create. We will do it now, or we'll come back and do it later, but sooner or later, it's going to happen. So we move quickly through 12 powers. We believe that these people can be fed. What we believe, of course, is that Jesus can do it, but it's a start, right? Jesus then says, no, you do it. Let me use this as an example to teach you the power you are. So we have faith, we just need to refocus it. Imagination, well, I can see 5,000 people being fed, 5,000 happy, fed people. I'm willing to do my share, to follow the guidance. I'm willing to be a part of this, to allow it to happen through me. I understand that hungry people need food. I understand that I cannot do it of myself alone. I understand that there's a dimension of surrender involved. And I really want to do this. I have zeal. I don't want to just talk about this. I don't want to just think about it or go to a workshop about it or read a book about it. I want to do it. I really want to feed these people. Power is interesting. I think I see power in the way, the very specific way that all the people are told to sit down, organize themselves, you know, form groups so that you don't all rush the table at the same time. Love. My experience of the love that Jesus is so different from the Jesus loves you message of my Sunday school youth. Jesus loves with laughter. Jesus loves and says, you know, these people are nuts. They're crazy. They're driving me crazy. They're not getting a thing I'm saying. They think they are doomed to live in limitation. They don't see the power, the infinite good that is available to them, and I just love them. I just totally love them. Discernment is recognizing the need, recognizing what has to happen for these people to be fed. And then order, we simply allow the flow to happen. Jesus doesn't do anything except appreciate the good. He blesses the good, sets it out before the people, lets them make the decision. Am I going to come forward and claim my good, or am I going to sit here and be hungry? Either is fine, your choice. Strength, we set out the goal and we hold to the truth. And if there are people, and there are, and there always will be, people who don't get it, we hold them. We hold consciousness for them until they can hold consciousness for themselves. Elimination. Gather the leftovers. Don't waste the good you are manifesting. Don't waste it. And don't hang on to it because you might be hungry again tomorrow. Claim your good today and release everything else into the universe. Let it go to feed those who also need to be fed. And life, get in the boat and keep going. Don't stand here in awe of what you've accomplished. Don't stand here and let people come up and kiss your ring because you fed them a fish. Get in the boat and keep going. That was then, this is now. You have more work to do. We always have more work to do than we can even imagine doing. Because we sometimes theoretically understand the self, the capital S self that we are. But we really are afraid to let ourselves be that. We really are afraid to know that I could feed 5,000 people if I believed and if I had no fear. I don't need Jesus to do it for me. I love the fact that they all turned to him and said, do a miracle, make food happen. And he said, do it yourself. Do it yourself. I'm not here to impress you with who I am. I'm here to teach you who you are. And the same is true for us today. We come together here on Sunday mornings, and we may not know exactly why we come, except that the people are wonderful and the energy feels supportive and my week seems to unfold better when I do. But we're really here to be those disciples. It's not an easy job. It's not easy being fully awake and living in a half-awake world. Yeah. I don't even want to get into this election cycle, but talk about a half-awake world, you know. And it's difficult not to blame, not to judge. It's difficult to love. But it's what we're called to do. It's what you're called to do. Because in truth, it's who you are. I'm so, so very happy to be here again. It's been a while. It feels like it was just yesterday. I'm home, and I'm glad, and I'm grateful. Blessings. I am so blessed in this moment, in this place, with this loving spiritual family. I am so blessed. And in the love and the safety I feel in this moment, I breathe this energy in with every breath. And as I exhale, I release the fear, release the tension, release everything that is not expressive of who I truly am. And I take this opportunity to make what has become a familiar journey out of the busyness of ego mind, the thoughts, the fears scurrying for my attention. I love them, and I say to them, peace be still. And I raise myself higher. I climb to what Jesus calls the higher room, at the very center of my being, at my heart. And from this heart perspective, I see all of the drama in ego mind as part of an intricate and beautiful pattern. I turn and look to my right, and I can see the path that has brought me to this moment, to this place, to this heart. And I'm amazed at what a beautiful, clear path it has always been, even though I felt I was floundering in the wilderness. I have always been moving toward this moment. And I turn to my left and I see the path that lies ahead. I don't see much of it. It turns, it disappears, it goes into the trees. But I know that the same divine order that has carried me here will carry me from here to every place I'm meant to be, every experience I'm meant to have, every relationship I'm meant to have. I simply agree. And my agreement is that I will come back to this heart perspective, not just on Sunday mornings, but many times a day. Not to judge what's happening in my life, not to solve the appearance of problems, but to breathe in my spiritual certainty, to center myself in the truth of who I am. And for that truth, and for the path that has carried me here and the path that awaits me moving forward, for all of it, for the privilege of being spirit in this mortal experience, what can I be but grateful? Deeply, deeply grateful. And what can I say but amen? So it is.